This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. The flashpoint for protests in Ferguson, Missouri these last few weeks is the shooting death of 18-year-old African-American Michael Brown by a white police officer. But those protests rest on a kindling of distrust between the town's black majority and the white leadership. Part of that distrust could be due to court fines that have become increasingly part of Ferguson's revenue. And it sounds very similar to a phenomenon happening in Alabama. Here to talk about that is John Archibald. He's columnist for the Alabama Media Group and joins us most Thursdays. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Andrew.
So explain what's been going on in Ferguson regarding these court fines.
Governing Magazine did this piece, and it really struck home with me. And it basically said in the last couple of years, due to a increase in traffic enforcement, as they said, fines have increased 80%, which, you know, $2.5 million in a town of 21,000, is it? Which, to put it in perspective, is more than the city of Birmingham has received in fines in the same period of time. And it just struck me that, you know, we see a lot of this here.
Oh, well, what is that you see here in Alabama? What is that connection?
Well, as I said in the column, I guess, Alabama sort of is to private probation what Wisconsin is to cheese, because we're the poster child of that whole thing. You can see communities across the state, you know, dozens, scores, more than 100, that have gone to this as sort of a revenue generator. And it's not just private probation. Cities do it on their own as well. But we're sort of ground zero for this practice.
And you have people that say this is heavy-handed, that this contributes to distrust among the general public and law enforcement. You know, what do you see as the effects of those fines here in Alabama? Anything along the order of what's being discussed in Ferguson?
Well, yeah, if you talk to, you know, really if you talk to lawyers who handle a lot of the cases for these people, you see people who are, you know, who go out and get a traffic ticket, can't pay the fine, see the fine double because of these systems that charge fees for not being able to pay, and you end up seeing people go to jail because they could not pay a traffic ticket. They argue that it just leads to a sense of hopelessness that people can never escape the mistakes they made. And some of these mistakes are mistakes we make all the time, but we just are able to go pay our bills and walk away and forget that it ever happened. So that sense of helplessness and opposition between the people and the police, it's just hard to escape.
Well, you note that in the column that Sylacauga cut ties with the private company that was collecting its fines. Montgomery just yesterday settled a lawsuit over fines for minor traffic violations. Do you see a change on this issue in Alabama?
Yeah, Montgomery also ended its relationship with its private probation company, the same one that Sylacauga had. Birmingham also ended that relationship for a different reason. But you see a lot of people taking a step back and looking at it and saying, really, is this the best way to deal with it? Sylacauga, I was impressed because the court officials in Sylacauga simply said, they have been had a lot of publicity about it, but they stepped back and said, what we're doing is wrong. It's just like payday lending to the most unfortunate, and we're going to change. And I think that more and more people are starting to see it's not the best way to go.
Well, there is also an undercurrent here, the fact that local governments are fairly limited in their ability to raise revenues, whether they're restricted by the state legislature or the public that doesn't want taxes. So on a certain level, where are local governments to look for revenue besides fees?
Right. There have been studies that basically show that this is not the most effective way in the long term to raise money. I mean, first of all, most of these people we're talking about are people you can't get the money from, and you end up incarcerating people to save money, and that does not work. There are other alternatives that work a little bit better.
Well, also this morning, you might not be able to name them, but you've probably heard of the Seven Wonders of the Ancient World. Well, there are other Seven Wonders lists, but what about the Seven Wonders of the Birmingham World? It's an idea John put forth in a column. And before we get to your list, John, you know, just what's your criteria for a wonder?
Well, you know, some of the things that make me wonder, like, wow, in awe, and some of them make me wonder, like, how does this kind of thing happen? I went back and forth on whether it should be wonders of the ancient Birmingham world or ancient of the modern world, and settled on the things that just make me wonder.
Okay, so what's your list?
Well, the first and foremost, the most magnificent wonder of all is the steam table at Nicky's West, because that thing, if you haven't seen it, is a monster, and it is I've never seen one like it. You got You know, I got our own. I got the earth beneath us because, you know, we're the only place in the world with all the ingredients needed to make steel, which gave rise to this community in the first place. Railroad Park, because, you know, it's wondrous, as one of my readers said, one of the commenters that helped me. I mean, it's what it has spawned. I mean, it's just a park, right? But it has really spawned a lot of growth in that area. We got Vulcan, of course, because you can't leave Vulcan out.
Sure.
I put the Pepsi sign on there because it's a wonder to me why we haven't revolted over, you know, being branded by a canvas logo. And we have the Red Mountain Cut for obvious reasons, because it's a magnificent engineering feat. And it also changed the city in various ways. And my favorite, I guess, is the Birmingham hot dog, which is becoming more and more rare. But for people who are new to the city, they may not realize just how important the Birmingham hot dog was to this community. And it's its own special little wondrous delicacy in and of itself.
John Archibald is a columnist for the Alabama Media Group. You can read his column each Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday in the Birmingham News, online anytime at AL.com. John, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.